beautiful song, Jesus Messiah. And now we're going to be talking about Jesus' values the lost in the parable of the lost coin. When you look at this in the scriptures, these three verses, and see if the lost coin, there's many things here that we just don't see just in the title itself. But when you get to studying this particular parable, there's a lot involved in these three verses about the future. And then what the Lord wants us to do as believers in reaching the lost, those who don't know him personally. So let's begin with verse 8 and read from Luke chapter 15, Jesus values the lost. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 8, or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. In the same way, Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So, those two verses kind of lead us up to verse 10, where Jesus goes right in telling us that the angels rejoice over one lost sinner. And every time that I've ever witnessed to a person that's lost, I think about that one verse about when a person says, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Even at camp, the kids come forward and make a decision. The angels in heaven. I think that one verse every time, that they're rejoicing over one lost soul. So as we look at this scripture this morning, it is considered the lost coin. But in looking, the spiritual application of this parable, we must first understand the underlying symbolisms here, as I was kind of leading to a while ago. We see mention of a woman, 10 silver coins, a lamp, a house, each having their own particular meaning. And I want to clarify a lot of this. I wish I had an hour or two to explain this, just these three verses, which we don't, but I'll do the best I can so that we can all understand this important parable. As this passage is expounded, we will come to see this parable relates to a wedding. A future wedding that's going to take place one of these days. Jesus Christ, the groom, the church is what? Bride. Okay? So many of Jesus' parables are wedding imageries. So in the New Testament, a wedding often represents a day sometime in an unknown future after Christ has returned to bring his people home, or to carry us all home. So the wedding that will one day take place is a marriage ceremony of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, to his bride, the church. Now, Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That is the church. That is the church. Now, keeping in mind that this passage contains wedding imagery, so let's go ahead and jump in and look at verse 8, which is searching for that missing coin. Searching for that missing jewel, which is the lost person. And you'll see this imagery. Jesus uses many imageries through these parables, and it's for us to get in and find out what those are. And in verse 8, we see a woman who was searching diligently for her lost coin, as Jesus is describing here. I was thinking about the praise song, "You Are My All in All." You've heard that song. And it shares a message of God's word to his people saying, "Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool." Right? You are my all in all. That's that song that speaks about this right here. So the Lord should be as valuable to believers as a precious jewel. And we are. But did you know that he sees us as a precious jewel? He does see us that way. And let us see what this is all about, looking at for that missing coin. So this coin could have been, now a kind of explanation of this, if you go back to Palestine and back in the Eastern culture to understand why Jesus used this particular parable of the lost coin, this coin could have been a buying power in making the difference between having food on the table or not having food. Okay? He uses this parable in that way. It's a symbolism, okay? It could have been a determining factor between life and death. This coin was probably the value of a what I would call a common denarius. Which would have been somewhere around 18 cents, okay? Now, we don't think that's very much. 18 cents couldn't buy you much today, right? It could then. In those times, in that surrounding, in that time, which was a great sum of money for a common person of that period in time. So it's the ancient coins, which is those denarius, okay? So, in Palestine, the mark of a married woman was a headdress made of 10 coins, silver coins, that Jesus mentioned here, together by a silver chain. It was put together and mounted on a silver chain. For years, maybe a girl would scrape and try to save and gather her 10 coins for the headdress, almost equivalent of a wedding ring, okay? Which was pretty pricey. And it may have been that it was one of these coins that the woman in this parable, the lost coin, that she searched as any woman would to search for the lost wedding ring. That's what she would be doing. Now, let's find out what Jesus is comparing this to here when the Lord searches for those who don't know him personally. That's where this verse 10 falls in place. In the same way I tell you there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one lost sinner. He searches diligently as a woman who has lost her wedding ring. However, he isn't searching for a wedding ring. He is looking for the missing coin in the headpiece. In other words, he is searching for the crown jewel. That's what he's searching for. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, this particular parable, the Lord views each and every individual in the world as a precious jewel. That's what verse 10 is all about. He watches over all of us, hoping that we don't become lost and we should lose our way. If we should lose our way, the Lord comes looking for us and he's declaring, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in and dine or fellowship or sup in some translations. Dine with him and he with me. I love this particular verse. And Jesus himself right here in Revelation 3:20 is talking to the church. And oftentimes we think he may have been talking to the lost person, the sinner. And oftentimes this particular verse, and I use this verse often when I'm witnessing someone, that he's knocking on our heart's door. Always knocking on our heart's door. Wanting a closer relationship with us, with the church, his bride. And this being the last verse here in Revelation chapter 20, speaking to the church, he's speaking to all seven churches that's listed in Revelation. He's wanting that relationship with each one of us because God is personal. He's looking at each and every one of us individually, of all the beings or people on this earth, choosing and desiring that relationship, that we will be that one lost coin that is found. That jewel, that crown jewel, that we will all behold one of these days in heaven. So, if we are lost, Jesus searches for us until the day of that great wedding. And here that wedding I was talking about, this imagery that Jesus is talking about. If we are not found by the time of the wedding, then sadly there will be one less jewel in the bride's crown. That's the church. Remember now, the bride is the church. And if we are not part or placed in the bride's crown by the time of Christ's return, then we won't be a part of the great wedding or a part of the kingdom of heaven. We'll be eternally lost. And that's why Jesus is using this particular verse here in verse 10, Luke chapter 15, verse 10, as a part of this parable, teaching those who are lost that they can be a part of the church, Christ's bride. Okay, moving on. Heaven rejoices when it's found, when that lost coin or that lost person is found. Now, what happens according to verse 10? And a symbolism of this woman, when the woman found the coin that belonged in her wedding headdress, she called all her friends, she called her neighbors to rejoice. I don't know how many of you have ever lost anything, and then when you found it, Nancy, did you lose something this morning?
I did.
And it was important, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes. But you found it. The Lord took you right to it this morning, didn't he?
He did.
You backtracked and found what you were looking for. Hallelujah, you know. And she came and told me, I found it. That's what we do. Something great, something exciting happens in our life, and that's why the angels in heaven rejoice over a lost sinner. See, they were likely those who would be attending the wedding, meaning they were the wedding guest that she called. See, the guests celebrated because there wouldn't be a hitch in the wedding ceremony. And see, how embarrassing it is when something doesn't go as planned at a wedding. Right? Right. And that's true in either way. But I've told bride and groom, when you look back, it might seem a big thing at the moment, but when you look back, you can smiled at him, and you said, yes, this is something we'll always remember. The important thing is a wedding vows between you and the Lord that would be attached in your heart and mind eternally. So when the best man misplaces a wedding ring or the ring is dropped, there's a sense of apprehension about starting the marriage off on the wrong foot. And that has happened. I've got it here somewhere, in my pocket or somewhere next to my heart. That has happened. I can vouch for that. It didn't happen to me, but it has happened in ceremonies that I conducted, officiated. So this coin in the wedding headdress meant as much to the bride as a wedding ring. So the guests celebrated because there was a sense that all was complete and well of the wedding ceremony, that everything would go according to plan. Now, looking at what Jesus is referring to here, when the marriage of the Lamb is held, then all of the heaven will rejoice because God has found those who are His. The crown of the church, figuratively speaking, will be complete with all of its jewels, and each jewel represents the Christian who is saved by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that rejoicing is all about. That's why we can rejoice as well. Now, in conclusion this morning, try to put it all together here. This parable reveals each and every person in the world is valuable to God. And going back to verse 10, that's the line. One lost person is added to the kingdom of God. That's when the angels in heaven rejoice. That's why we rejoice over one lost sinner. See, the Lord views everyone as a potential crown jewel. I like to use Zechariah chapter 9, 16 and 17, which tells us, the Lord, their God, will save them in that day. And that's going on today. In prophecy, Israel returning to her hometown, home country, home state, as a flock of His people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over His hand, land. Verse 17, for how great is His goodness, and how great is His beauty. I love that passage of Scripture. It's talking about people. It's talking about God's people. It's talking about all of us. So the Lord said that there will come a day when His Son, Jesus Christ, will return to take us home to be with Him on high. And each of us shall become a precious jewel. Now, Jesus is always searching diligently for the lost in a dark world. Until the morning finally breaks, and then the morning dawns, Jesus will come again and recover every jewel, every person to be a part, to be placed in the bride's crown, to become a part of the church, to become a part of the kingdom of God. So if anyone has not turned to the light of Jesus Christ, if anyone has not been found as a precious jewel in the Lord's eye before the beginning of the great wedding ceremony in heaven, then it will be too late on that day to become that precious jewel or that bride's crown. That's what Jesus is referring to here again in this verse. It would be too late However, when we think about Jesus being the light of the world, Jesus is the light. He burns for all to see that very moment. Now, the Lord desires every one of us, everyone, to turn to Him and to be rescued, to be saved before the end of time. We don't know when that's going to be, but that's why these parables are so important for us to read. And I encourage you to read and reread them over and over and over. 39. There's not that many, 39. You can read them in a few hours or so. But when you think about what Jesus is teaching us in each one of those, we are valuable to Him. More precious than gold, more precious than any silver, more precious than anything on this earth. Again, as He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as needed. You and I are precious. We're worth something to God. You know what? That's why He went to the cross and died for us. So He saw something special in us. He saw something good as on the day that we were created. And it was all good. Everything that God creates, everything that God does is good. And thank goodness He has made us a part of that. Thank goodness He wants us to be one of those crown jewels. We are the bride of Christ. One of these days, we'll see Him face to face, and we will say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And give you the praise for all things. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this parable, the lost coin, that symbolizes many, many things that Jesus were referring to then and now. And Lord, we just pray that every one of us will search our hearts. Whatever our relationship is with you, Lord, it can always be better. We can be closer. And Lord, it's your desire that we walk with you as Enoch and Moses and Abraham. And your scriptures said they walked with God. That means we search with all our heart, soul, and mind, and surrender and yield. And that's what they did each day, seeking the most important thing in their life, and that is that relationship with you.
That's right.
If there's anyone here or anyone listening today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they can. Lord, when that person says yes to you, I'm a sinner, ask forgiveness of their sins, and you welcome them into the family of God. And then verse 10 says, rejoicing takes place in heaven, and here on earth as well. We commit this invitation to you, Lord, to use it for your honor and glory. Speak to our hearts. Power of your Holy Spirit. May we be sensitive to your moving this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand.